This Do Lectures episode features passionate chocolatier Liam Burgess, recorded live at the global event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2016.
Hello everyone, my name's Liam. I have a chocolate company called Nom Nom, which you should all be eating now. I thought that maybe what would be useful is if I talk about how useless I am, so that you can all do whatever it is that you want to do. Out of interest, how many people are like thinking of going to university or in university? Okay. Don't do it, it's a complete waste of time. So I've got a chocolate company called Nom Nom. We're just up the road. We're about 10 minutes away from here, over the mountain. And I'm gonna tell you a little bit about how we started. Because it's really easy. Like, if you've got a great idea, just go out and do it. Don't go to university. So I was born in Tembe, which is down here, and then spent a little bit of my time growing up next to the Cadbury factory in Bourneville, in Birmingham, which was built in like the 1800s by these crazy Quaker brothers who believed that if you're gonna build a factory, then maybe everybody should be really happy and they should have like houses and there should be like a community and all these kind of things. So I kind of grew up next to this, and my granddad, Arthur, he used to take me around the factory and to see all these beautiful brick buildings. And like, I used to live, so this is like the main factory that they built, and three doors up here was my house where I lived. And when I opened my bedroom window, it was like the whole village smelled chocolate all the time. So that maybe had a little bit of an effect on me. Moved back to Wales and kind of did the whole school thing, never really got along very well with that. I was kicked out like 12 different schools. I haven't even got a single GCSE. So when I say don't go to university, it's like, you can still do it, you don't need to go. But yeah, I was massively passionate about food, so I kind of used to run away from school. I'd like go in for lunch, then I'd run away and I'd go and work in kitchens, learning about how to cook, and I just found food just the most amazing thing to be involved in, especially in Wales. We've got an incredible amount of awesome producers that are just, they just want to bring joy to people, and I thought that there couldn't be a better job than just making people happy. But I couldn't work for people, and building a restaurant's really expensive. So after about the 11th time I got sacked, I thought, hey, I'll start a chocolate company. Because I was always like making chocolates. I never lost the whole chocolate thing. My granddad used to take me to, they had like this Cadbury staff shop where all the like gone wrong ones would go, and you could turn up and you come out with like cases of chocolate. And one day he gave me £50, which is a lot of money. I was like 10. And I went there and he said, Liam, you spend this £50, and he was Irish, and like make it into another £50. So I was like, okay, that's an interesting idea. So I did, and then I had a little chocolate shop under the stairs back in Wales, and it kind of, chocolate's always been there for me. So I kind of thought, after working for all these different people and getting sacked all the time and like 3 months couldn't hold down a job, so I started making chocolates in my caravan in the bottom of my mum's garden with a little bit of money that I had saved up. It was about like 250 quid or something. And we started, and then we made 100 of these boxes of chocolates, little truffles and things. And I just took them around to the local shops, delis, and people liked them, and they bought them. They paid money for it. It was brilliant. So I went to the Prince's Trust, and they gave me a £3,000 loan, which you have to pay back, and tell you everything you need to know about business. I mean, I am useless. I can't do emails, I can't do phones, I can't work a computer. The very fact that I managed to pull a presentation together is a miracle. So they really helped me through understand, you know, what profit margins, how much you've got to sell to make money, you know, how much is it going to cost, what if everything breaks down, and just made it really easy to understand, because it is really easy to understand. And so many people go on and on and on about, oh, if you're going to start a business, you know, you've got to worry about risk and nonsense like this. And it was just about making sure that we sold it for more than it cost us to make it. And we were off. So we had this £3,000 loan and we didn't have any money for anything. I mean, the design on this, dreadful. My granddad, again, good old granddad, gave me one of these old stamping kits. And the first, like, 400 bars or something, we were there with this stamping kit and we were stamping each individual letter. And then we had a bar called Llaethdy Llaeth at the time, which means dairy milk in Welsh. And there was like two L's, and there was only two L's in the thing. And then eventually we figured out that we could sellotape all the different stamps together and we could do whole words in one. And then we had these horrible little stickers that we used to put on it. But it worked. People loved it and they bought it. And with that, we moved to a kit. So we went from a caravan to a caravan park in Llanstefan. It was like a disused restaurant thing. One of my friends said, oh yeah, I've got this caravan park. Yeah, there's like this little bit of space. And there is tons of space everywhere. I mean, if you've got an idea, there is always somewhere to do it. And I mean, this place cost us 30 quid a week. So we could just do it. It was like, suddenly we had this thing. It was a real thing. It was like, I went from a caravan, I sold a few chocolate bars, and now we've got this kitchen. So with the £3,000, we were meant to buy all kinds of equipment. It didn't work. We had to send half the equipment back to get the cash to buy the stuff to make the chocolates, and it was a mess, but it worked. And then there was, within about 6 months, so our first year we did £104,000, we were profitable, we had the profit margins were right, everything was fine, but we just didn't have any cash, because it was just, it just kind of took off and kept going. So there were six of us in this teeny kitchen. I mean, literally, there were six of us in there. So it was kind of taking off a bit. And I mean, still, we were like, we couldn't afford the tooling charges to get the boxes made for the display boxes, because the shops call up. They'd be like, Liam, we can't display them in anything. You need to have a display box. So I was like, okay, so we need to make a display box. So we had these sheets of cardboard, and there we were every night, like cutting out with a Stanley knife these sheets of cardboard. And we did that for like 3 months, and then we were like, oh, now we can afford the tooling charge. Anyway, I used to help this farmer called Bill, who lived on a farm next door to where my mum lives, where the caravan that we started in. And I used to go and help him like cut wood and stuff. And he only ever paid me in chocolate digestive biscuits. So thankfully, Bill remembered all my hard work for chocolate digestive biscuits. And he had this cowshed. Not as pretty as this cowshed, but it was a cowshed. And it used to be home to 60 cows on a dairy farm in the middle of nowhere. So Llanboidy, there is nothing there. We've got a world-famous tug-of-war team and two chocolate factories, weirdly. But it was this area that was built on farming and dairy, and you know, it was kind of like big conglomerates had moved in and taken the dairy industry away. And at the time, we weren't even bottling Welsh milk in Wales. It used to go in tankers, and then it used to go over the border, and then it'd be bottled, and then it'd be brought back. So being on a dairy farm was really important to us, and it was also about this kind of idea of, like, you know, I stand here and I say, don't go to university. But most guys that kind of grow up around here, they think they have to go to university, because it's like, well, what else are we going to do? Because there's not that much opportunity in a rural area. So I wanted to build this place where it kind of had this thing about what used to be there, which was the dairy industry and all this kind of thing. But then all the sons and daughters of the farmers were left behind. It's like we needed this new thing. So that, for me, is a dairy farm. And I mean, this whole area is full of tons of farms with loads of empty sheds. So I hope that what we're doing at Nom Nom is kind of showing that, yeah, really cool stuff can happen if you've got a cow shed. So we moved the cows out, and then we started moving in. I mean, that's the cow shed there. You can't really see much. But it's this gigantic cow shed. And we moved in 2 years ago. By this point, we were selling about, I don't know, 275,000. There were seven of us still, so we just got one more when we moved to the cow shed. And there we are, like, on the floor, eating chips. And it was just, it was built just by me kind of going out in a van, filling it full of chocolate, just driving around, and not coming back until all that chocolate was gone. I used to just turn up shops, please, sir, will you buy my chocolate? And they did, and it worked. And then we managed to get seven people, and we're making all these chocolate bars. They were still all individually hand-formed. I mean, even now, these chocolate bars, the wrappers are stuck down my prit stick. I mean, you really don't need to be clever about it. So for me, kind of the whole inspiration about chocolate and food and all these kind of things is like, I see our job to be, how can we use all the senses to bring about joy for people in a product? So it's like, you know, sight, sound, touch, taste, all these things. So we made this super cool chocolate bar with a band that we just met somewhere, and then they were like, hey, we like your chocolate, and we like your music. And then they came to release their latest single, and they were like, how are we gonna do this? You know, we like the whole senses thing. So we're like, well, why don't we make the world's first edible record? So that chocolate bar is their latest single. So you're like, you're gonna open it all up, and it's got all these beautiful things in, and you go and download the thing. We made a chocolate bar called Old Books, which had leather in it. So it was like, how do you get memories into a chocolate bar, and how can you make something that people eat, and then they're like, it just reminds them of something. So part of our interview process at Nom Nom is we ask people what their most cherished food memory is. And it's usually something, it just totally encapsulates a person. And I think for us to be able to get that into a chocolate bar, to be able to give that to people, is super cool. So the Old Books thing was like leather and cigar and all kinds of crazy stuff went into that. And we change the flavors all the time. So it's about being inspired by the seasons. And, you know, we've got the most incredible producers around here. So we've got this crazy lady, Wendy, who has a plum tree in her garden, and once a year we make a wild plum bar, and she sends the ladies up the tree and they plod the plums down, and then we make this jam, and there's only 1,000 in the world. This year there's only going to be 300 because the plums didn't do so well, and she rang me last week and she said, Liam, I've got some bad news on the wild plums. And then we've got this other guy called Nick from Coed Canlas, which is just down the road from here, and you can never get hold of him because he's like out in the thing looking after his bees and all this kind of stuff. And then we also, in Wales, we make the best sea salt in the whole world, right? I mean, we just took it. This chocolate bar that you're eating right now, oak smoked sea salt from Anglesey, best in the world. So we love it, and it changes all the time, and every week we come into the cow shed and there's something new. So at the moment we're making vodka and raspberry, espresso martini, blueberry gin, and we just do it. We don't think about stuff, we just make it. Here we are, having fun, in the cow shed. So we built this team, and I kind of, this was like, we're in our third year now. We've made 500,000 chocolate bars. And it's like, suddenly there's all these people everywhere. And I think because I didn't really work for people, I thought, you know, how are we going to build this place where we have a company that's kind of centered around people so they can follow their dreams and, you know, they're looked after and all these kind of things. And I think that we have a massive responsibility in building companies that are fit for the future. So we're doing a ton of cool stuff, and I know I've not got much time left. So money doesn't grow on trees, chocolate does. So a couple of months ago, we went out to Madagascar. I mean, I grew up around like chocolate, and I fell in love with chocolate, and it was all this special, magical thing. But I never thought about where it comes from. So we went out, and we found out that the chocolate industry is in a bit of a mess. So there's 70% of the world's cocoa is grown in West Africa, and 70% of the world's cocoa is processed by three companies, huge companies. So we wanted to, we thought about how we could maybe change that and add value further down the supply chain. So we went out to Madagascar and we found these awesome people. So what happens in chocolate is you've got cocoa that grows and then it gets harvested, it can't be intensively farmed, and then you ferment it, it gets dried, and then it gets sacked up. And then that gets shipped around the world and it takes 6 months for it to go anywhere. And what we noticed was that our chocolate bar from the farmer for the finest fair trade organic beans was only getting about £1 a kilo for his beans. And by the time somebody had bought one of our chocolate bars, that kilo of cocoa beans had turned into like £130. So we thought, what the hell's going on? So the answer is that what needs to happen is that these guys need to add value in the country of origin. So we went out and we visited a group of farmers that are doing some awesome stuff. And what they're doing differently is rather than selling this as a commodity, they're turning it into cocoa mass in the country of origin. So what happens is they roast it and they grind it up, and then that becomes something called cocoa mass, which is the raw ingredient of the whole chocolate industry. And that means that the value created stays in the country, so they can build their own schools and they can do their own stuff, and they don't need to rely on crazy Western companies parachuting in saying that they're going to change the world. So the whole team went out and we saw all of that, and then we met this guy, Neil, who's just as crazy as us. And it kind of made us think that, you know, taking on big things like the chocolate industry and all these kind of growing massive companies and all these kind of things, it's not that daunting because there's loads of other people that are just as crazy as you and they're thinking the same thing. So now, third year, we've done all kinds of cool stuff. Beta number 10, make chocolate for Kylie Minogue. We've made 500,000 chocolate bars. There's a team of 14 of us in the cow shed. We're all having a great time. And we still just sell to little shops like this. There's like 450 of these little shops. You don't, in a food company, it's usually like you've got to go and sell to Tesco and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. You don't, because things are changing and we believe that, you know, we want to do business in the way that we want to do business, and we value what these guys are about. And I think that you've got to stay true to all of that kind of stuff. So now we're running out of space at our chocolate factory, and it just so happens that there's an abandoned chocolate factory over the road from our chocolate factory in Llanboidy, and it used to be Britain's only chocolate farm. So somehow I've grown up next to two chocolate factories now, and I've kind of taken the hint slowly. So this place was going for about 20 years. It was abandoned 3 years ago, just as we started up. So what we're gonna do is we move in next week, and it's like this crazy, crazy abandoned chocolate factory. I mean, there's this like weird doll room. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And what we wanna do is turn it into a place which we feel farms need to be more like. I mean, why can't we have a place where there's a brewery and a chocolate factory and a bakery and a cheesemaker and all these kind of things? And why can't people come and stay and learn how to, like, you know, code and do all of this cool stuff that's going on around here? So the other thing is that we don't want banks, we don't want investors, we don't want all that kind of stuff. We think it kind of takes away from the whole thing. So I don't want to be going to a bank saying, please, sir, can I have, you know, £100,000 to build a crazy chocolate factory. We want our customers to own it. We want our suppliers to own it. We want our retailers to own it. We want to build a thing where everybody's got a stake in what's going on, because that's how we build better rural communities. And I think for us, that's a huge challenge. But we're not going to take any money from the banks or the horrible investors. So we're going to build some chocolate bricks. So we're building a chocolate factory, and we need some builders. So we've made 1,000 chocolate bricks. And you can get one of these bricks for £100. Includes a year's supply of chocolate, and you get your name on a real brick at the new factory. And all kinds of different ideas like this, because I think finance is kind of changing, I hope, for the better, and we need to think about how cool ideas from young people are funded so that we can change the way that's been happening so far. And then some things that I've learned. Nobody cares about your cool idea. Like, who cares about the brick idea? Nobody cares. So I've just got to go and make it happen. Always trust your gut. Always, 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 always trust your gut. It will serve you so well. Grown-ups are silly. 6-year-olds are clever. There's this thing that happens when you're like... I don't know when it happens, but generally 6-year-olds have got it right. But it's like this kind of curiosity gets beaten out of you from a really young age, and you kind of stop asking why. Do you remember that kid? I'm sure you all still do it. Don't ever stop asking why. But I was just that kid that never stopped asking why. It was like, it's such an important thing that we do in the future is question everything. And I think 6-year-olds are much better at that than grown-ups are. Everyone is winging it. I'm totally winging it. Most people are winging it, and I think that once you recognise that, it kind of makes it easy. Don't be afraid to fail. Never get a mortgage. Bite off more than you can chew. I have totally bitten off more than I can chew. But it's going to be fine. Don't be precious. Share everything. The currency of the future is ideas. Believe in yours. And never run out of milk. Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.